Hey guys, gals, and unbinary pals, it's Southpaws, episode 434, 30 to 50 feral furries. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
And what will you do to handle 30 to 50 horny furries running into your fur con where the vendors are waiting within 3 to 5 minutes?
Fucking sell them porn.
That's right. They're running around screaming, trying to buy things with their bappy little paws because they're ferals. They don't have opposable thumbs. How does this work? Like, how does this stylish dog use an iPad?
Wonders. All the dealers have to get like the low Japanese tables.
Oh yeah,
because they're ferals, so they can't stand up that tall.
And like they have to have little Apple Pay chips on their collars or whatever, so they just go boop. But then they have like little harnesses with hooks. They can just hook the stuff onto their backs. We're figuring this out. That is
there's how a market for this.
Better accommodate your 30 to 50 feral furries.
Yeah.
Oh God, guys, it's been such a stressful week. It has just been a total bitch. Mm-hmm. I've hated so much of it, and like I've developed a damn tick in my forehead, muscle twitches in my forehead. It is not good. It is not completely normal.
I've been wearing my harness all week that says I'm nervous.
Nice. Do not approach.
I'd bite.
You could be one of those people that gets the in heat sticker.
Bite, but only consensually.
Yeah. I just am always amused whenever those show up at fur cons. Because they're legit, like, veterinary stickers. They, for, like, dogs that are being kenneled, they put that on there for, like, if the animal's in heat while its owners are out.
Mm-hmm.
But furries bring them to cons and are, like, horny.
Did he, like, mount a bad dragon toy on the inside of the kennel so that she could take care of herself?
No.
Oh.
No.
Well, that's kind of mean.
Yeah, well.
They should, you know, they should be able to get some relief.
Anyways. It has been a week, and yet we're here again for yet another episode of this nonsense that you, the listener, are helping us do. Remember, you're partially culpable as well. Thank you for all of our patrons at patreon.com/southpawscast. So I think last week, we're just going to start from the top of our list. Last week, an article came out that the ESA, the Entertainment Software Association, the company that runs E3, had accidentally doxxed every one of their media people that had ever come to their event.
In 2018, yeah, 2019.
In 2017. There's multiple years of data that was up there.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that as part of their media strategy, they were just keeping a list of people so that they could sell it or give it to vendors who could then, you know, out of the blue, mail a person from a website, a tchotchke, or a little promotional bullshit item.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, oh wow, some YouTuber gets a box in the mail and it's from EA and they're promoting Call of Duty 47.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things. They had a marketing database available on their website that had all their contact information, including home addresses. And now people got doxxed because...
Yeah, because they did not have good security on it, right?
It was just publicly accessible. Obviously, the shitty gamers got a hold of it and disseminated it. And people on that list who people do not like on the internet have been catching shit. Anyone vaguely lefty in the gaming journalism space has been catching shit from randos on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
More than usual. But now they have their like home addresses and shit.
God damn. That's so dangerous.
It's interesting because this is actually has a lot of people talking like this is the death knell of E3. Because a lot of the people that are on that list are going, fuck you, I'm not going again.
Mm-hmm.
You doxed me. You put my life in danger. You put my family's life in danger.
Yeah.
There's people on there that are like, yeah, I was on that list, but I use my P.O. box or I use my office address. Mm-hmm. But even then, they now have my office address.
Right.
You know?
At least with a P.O. box, they're going to show up at a UPS store or mailbox, et cetera, and be like, there's no one here to harass.
Hmm. Well, there's a lady behind the counter. I better yell slurs at her just because so I don't waste the trip. So that was a big deal. It's like the E3 list was something else. This was an article written by Rob Zachney on Vice.com, Vice Waypoint. So this was a relevant paragraph that I included in the topics channel. The E3 list was something else. It was just the raw export of every scrap of information journalists gave when they registered. There was no redaction, and most unbelievably, it was just posted on public webpage for anyone to download. But in a way, it also made explicit how the ESA perceives the value of the media that attends its show. it revealed that increasingly what the ESA is selling is not the media coverage around E3, but the direct access to media. So they made up a list of people that someone might someday want to cold call or send a weird tchotchke to out of the blue, complete with a place you can send it. So the gamers who have shown themselves to be very bad as of late. Yeah. Got a fresh target list. And apparently they also had this for previous years, as we mentioned, but that had been known but not publicized because the person who found it out wasn't shitty. But the person who found it this time was shitty, and now lots of people involved in the game media are getting harassed.
So I'm assuming the one that was found and not publicized, like, they probably let E3 know that, right? Yeah. Like, hey, this is like a major liability. You guys need to take this down. And they didn't listen. And, of course, now it's a much worse situation.
Yeah, there was a follow-up tweet from Mike Futter. Says, the ESA will also leak the data of journalists, content creators, and analysts from E3 2018. A source has been sitting on this since August last year and did not come forward until now as to ensure the data was not exposed. The data has been removed and is now inaccessible.
Yeah, except for all the fucking dark web type websites that probably posted to 8chan before it went down.
Yeah, which that actually kind of goes into some of the shit that happened this week. But it's not surprising. E3 is so weird. So, like, this is very much a gamer kind of thing, because the E3 way back in the day
was a hot shit.
Was the place to go and disseminate new information about stuff coming out. The place to announce new consoles. Because
it was the game, like, everybody waited for E3.
Yeah. So, like, if you had a major release, that was where you'd find out about it. And an entire month of a magazine would be devoted to this extra size 400-page issue. Yeah. Like, some of the Electronic Gaming Monthlies back in the day were just epically huge. And I miss having those. Because it's fun to go back through and read the breathless hyperbole around video games and how it hasn't really changed much since now, but also the weird advertising. Now, in the modern age, we have the internet and we have YouTube, and everybody has broadband or at least fast phone connections, and a company can put out a press release and a video, like, it's effortlessly. This morning, instead of, like, oh, we gotta wait for an event to do a press release, the guys over at Hello Games, the guys who do No Man's Sky, put their, like, multiplayer preview, like, 2-minute teaser.
Yeah, but on the other hand, if E3 hadn't shat the bed, if it was still all that, I mean, that was good buzz because everybody waited to hear the new stuff. And anything that got pushed there got sent far and wide because everybody was hyped up waiting for the newest and new.
Definitely paying attention more that week, too. Like, but this year, is like, Sony wasn't there. EA wasn't there. Nintendo's not been there for a while. They just do their press, Nintendo Direct. Devolver Digital does a multi-hour stage show, but that's, like, off-site.
I mean, back in the day when they changed E3, that was a huge blow to the community. And just the way it was handled. Everybody was like, but E3. And then they just kind of changed it, and it became... And that's when we got PAX and a bunch of the other stuff that kind of came in and took its place.
What did they change about it again?
They made it harder to get in, I believe. Mm. And, like, they've changed the venues multiple times.
Oh, didn't they change it to only be industry people at some point?
It was only industry people for a long time. And then they opened it to the public just recently. But because it's not a customer-focused thing, it's still heavily industry. Like, there's not a bunch of stuff on the floor to see. You're paying, like, $250 to go in.
Yeah.
And you can't get to wait in long-ass lines to play demos of video games for 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah. I guess if you're, like, super-duper dedicated to gaming, I mean, then it's worth it for some people, but...
Yeah, and, like...
Not for the broad, you know, general public of gaming people.
And even so, like, if you're a smaller developer, it's a hell of a lot cheaper to go to a PAX or any other, like, local gaming thing. Like, I've seen stuff, like, I saw Guild of Dungeoneering at PAX South 2016, but then I also saw it later that year at the Screw Attack Gaming Expo in Frisco. Like, it's not impossible. Like, I saw Finji's stuff for, like, Night in the Woods at HavenCon and not at PAX, right?
Right, yeah.
So there's all these ways for games to get out there that don't require you to have the money spend to go to E3 anymore. I mean, yeah, it is high attention, But with this most recent data breach, at least on the journalism media side of things, people don't want to go anymore because you just put all my shit at risk for a marketing tableau, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you still have to probably register under your legal name. But if you were going to go, you know, have your legal name, a disposable email address, and a P.O. box.
Yeah, like, if you're a known person and your information's out there, short of you moving, you're kind of out of luck.
Mm-hmm. Change your phone number, change your,
this isn't like a FurryCon where, imagine a FurryCon database getting out, that'd be bad.
Mm-hmm.
But more often than not, most furries don't have dedicated hate followings that are just super eager to send shit to people's houses or harassment their way.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it also included like phone numbers.
And yeah, stuff. That's fucked
like,
up.
All of their registration info, like the full registration data fields. Like, consider what all you put down for a FurCon registration.
Right.
Also add, like, where they work and other credentials that they might require
for
them to get a media badge.
Yeah, like, for most furry cons, I mean, yeah, you put your date of birth, and you also put, in a lot of cases, an emergency contact number. Usually I put my husband, especially if he's going to be at the con at the same time as I am.
It's pretty unfortunate. A bad way to start the week for many people in the gaming space. Just disappointing because, you know, for many people, 2014 never ended. It's always going to be shitty, and there's always going to be people on the internet that hate them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just, hey, look, it's my home address. You know, I don't happen to have a wife and child at home. Oh, wait, you know, some people do.
Yeah.
That's a bummer. The other thing, I think we mentioned last week the Ooblets thing. They were the indie devs that everyone had their pitchforks out for.
Because the Epic Game Store.
Yeah, like,
right.
Unsurprisingly, they have been getting shitloads of death threats. And it's continued. Like, people that made videos about the thing and going, wow, you handled this poorly, like, took their videos down and were like, yo, even if inadvertently, I don't want to contribute to any more of this bullshit being sent their way. If you were doing this, you're a bad person. But the people that send this kind of harassment aren't the people that are watching, the like, Jim Sterling's videos and listening to him go, hey, don't do this, you dumbasses.
God, it's so fucking ridiculous. Like, if a company does something I don't like and I criticize them on Twitter.
You don't send fucking death threats.
Right. You criticize them for being like, hey, you shouldn't be trying to position yourself as a queer-friendly company while donating millions of dollars to Republicans. But I don't say, hey, Chick-fil-A, I'm going to come and shoot up your headquarters or anything like that, you know?
Wow, you're like tying into two other stories this week, folks.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm just
shit.
Yeah, and this is just off the cuff. I'm just like, you know, you criticize somebody, frankly, even, right, I wouldn't threaten Donald Trump's life, even. I disagree with fucking everything he does. I fucking hate Ted Cruz. I wouldn't threaten his life either. I mean, I don't believe these people need to die. They just need to be out of power.
But, like, they wrote a lengthy Medium article about just, like, the depths of hate being sent their way. Yeah, they maybe were a little bit condescending in their press release about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But they still were given a chunk of cash up front that basically guaranteed them an income for the next year or so they can finish working on their fucking game. They don't have to, like, hope and pray that they sell enough via early access to keep the doors open and they can keep developing. They got a guaranteed minimum of sales from Epic. They got a cash up front. Think about it this way. Like, if you got just, you signed an exclusivity deal for a book and you got paid a full year's salary for it, and that lets you work on the next book and continue refining your next thing and the next thing.
Yeah.
Is it consumer friendly? Well, fuck off. The people have to do what's best for them. Honestly.
Especially something like keeping the company fucking solvent so that they can do stuff.
Yeah, like, if they don't have that money influx, they don't have a future guaranteed to them. And then the game doesn't ever come out. This dumb console war, essentially, between Epic Game Store and Steam is, like, it's being goaded by Epic. They're being shitty about it, but, like, using these three-person dev teams as sacrificial lambs in the game, as pawns, is not good. And then, you know, gamers being gamers and sending death threats their way is super not the way to go.
Yeah.
So obviously, anybody listening to this is smart enough to not do that.
Mm-hmm.
One would hope.
True. If you want exclusive content to push your platform, this is what you do. You strike deals. You get yourself content that would drive people to your business. This is what you do in order to get solvent, you know, and be able to get a foot in the door. I mean, Steam is so established right now that anybody trying to break into it is going to have to do things like this in order to guarantee that they have content that'll pull people to their store.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that the bit you were mentioning about, like, the gyms and whatever, the Equinox gym chain. That's what you're referencing, right?
No.
Oh, well, specifically, Equinox is a series of gyms. They have, like, spots in New York and West Hollywood. Mm-hmm. They're very much a fit gay man's club.
Oh, no. And they're donating to Republicans?
Yes. Not only that.
Jesus.
Like, they were very cynically this is a gay fitness club.
Mm-hmm.
While the owner is donating millions and millions of dollars for Trump re-election and also disparaging gays and saying they get to burn in hell.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I thought that was exactly what you were mentioning.
No, I was just using a hypothetical because there's so many companies that have it was Amazon or Microsoft that was donating. Well, they're both donating a lot of political money, but one of them in particular recently, it might be Microsoft, said, okay, we're just stopping. We shut down the Microsoft pack and we're not going to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were getting backlash because they're, as a company, they come out every June along with Apple and Google and the other big tech companies. And, you know, they put the Pride logo on and stuff like that. And they're a big business. So of course, they're donated to Republicans because they keep them in tax breaks. And, like, they got a shitload of backlash of it. But that happened, like, months ago. So, yeah, I was kind of using that as hypothetical, not even thinking of a particular company. So I didn't even know about that. That's really shitty.
This was something that came up this weekend that Equinox, it's a $3,000 a year gym.
Mm-hmm.
They've put
that seems
ads.
High.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's like $250 a month. So
that's
yes,
high.
That is high.
Yeah.
but also, like, they put money in for ads for Pride and raise money for various bullshit. But unfortunately, so many gay men were shocked to hear Stephen Ross, chairman of the board of Equinox's parent corporation, related companies, was hosting a high ticket fundraiser in the Hamptons on Friday for Donald Trump's re-election bid. So, wow. It's like, yeah, we're going to take all your gay money, you fucking fags, and then, yeah, we're going to re-elect Donald Trump with that money. And needless to say, that was distressing to many people, but also not surprising. But no, like, I thought you were mentioning that directly because I'd seen it.
Hey, you know, it was related.
I mean, the thing is, like, political donations are public record.
Yeah.
So, if you make a donation over a certain amount to a politician, it's the FEC reports it, and it's publicly available.
Yeah.
Like, there was a kerfluffle. Well, people trying to make a kerfluffle and people clutching their pearls over a San Antonio.
I was just going to mention that. I heard about that.
Julian Castro or something like that?
Yeah.
He's basically posted an image that listed all of the top-end donors for Donald Trump's re-election campaign.
And, like, some of them were local business owners and stuff like that.
And people acting like, how dare you put this information out there? This publicly available, required by law, all it is name, company, and amount donated. Like,
I don't even know if it was, I think the guy put two and two together that this one dude owned this, like, chain of barbecue restaurants or something like that. I don't even know if they put company on all of them. Some of them, it was just people's names, right?
Yeah. But I mean, even then, like, that's legally required to be reported, you know, because we are supposed to have some sort of transparency in our government. And, like, Sheldon Adelson donated $5 million to the Trump re-election campaign. That's not a surprise. He's a giant right-wing ghoul. And these other people donated, like, $1 million and this, that, and the other.
And this particular list was the people that donated the max individual contribution allowable by law, which I think is something like $6,500 or something. Beyond that, to donate to a PAC or something instead. But yeah, so it was people like that, like, hey, here's all the people that have $6,500
spare that they spare threw to Trump.
You know, like, and I'm like, sure, I'd donate $6,500 to a candidate I liked, but like, I don't have that kind of money. Yeah. You know?
That was also in the news. Where it's like, basically, when people, you can see where money's going. Like, companies like Microsoft are donating to both sides of the aisle to grease the pockets of whomever gets into power.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have, you know, like, individual, they were like a realtor who donated. And
yeah.
There was like barbecue restaurants by this, that, and the other. And it's like, not, some of these are not really surprising. Some of these are companies you've never heard of because they're like,
they're probably known in that local community. You know, yeah. Like that guy has like 3 or 4 barbecue restaurants and it's a San Antonio institution. And people discover, oh, hey, you know, he's donating all this money to right wing causes.
You know,
make people think twice about, like, I even saw one guy tweet and was like, wow, I ate there last week. I'm never going to eat there again.
And it really is going to boil down to, because, you know, you're going to have the nut jobs that are going to be, oh, well, I guess I'll just go there more. You know, it's the same sort of contrarian mindset that's like, hey, this person's a real piece of shit. Don't support them. And the people are like, well, fuck you. I'm going to support them doubly more now. I'm taking my entire church group to this joint. And it's like, all right, well,
mm-hmm.
You're free to do that. You can spend all your money to own me, a lib.
At least it's slightly less stupid than the people that were like tearing up their, burning their shoes or
destroying
their Keurigs or destroying their socks.
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy was so mad he ripped the Nike swoosh off of his sock with his bare hands.
It sure owned him that you spent like $35 for a pair of fancy Nike socks that you've now destroyed.
And now you walk around the rest of the day with droopy ass socks because you probably destroyed all the elastic. Yeah,
so good luck with that. It's been a heck of a week. And the other thing that you mentioned, like threatening to go shoot up a place, there was the 14-year-old who decided that she was going to threaten to shoot up YouTube HQ because they took her off their platform for being a homophobic little shit.
Which was her entire shtick.
Yeah. A 14-year-old mm-hmm. ultra bigot who basically is being used as a tool by her parents.
Like, gotta be. You don't.
There's no way just that a 14-year-old
yeah.
is making these videos without the approval of their parent. Like, you don't make green-screened videos and buy shit.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a fucking green screen without your parents buying it for you at that age. You know, this is one of those, you need a CPS intervention here because this kid is not doing right. So this was an article on Queerty that we saw. You can be an edgy shithead when you're a teen. Like, it's not good. Don't do that. But when it's this hardcore and like you're threatening, like there's a picture apparently with her holding a gun. It's like, I'm coming for you, Susan Wojcicki, or whatever the lady's name is. Yeah.
That's, oh, there's, like, the edgy teens that will, like, tell a racist joke or something like that. But most people grow out of that, hopefully. But then this is, like, a whole level above that, where, like, she's actually holding a gun and threatening specific people. It's, like, whoa.
And apparently she's also, like, super anti-Muslim. And the girl's name is called Soph, so it's Sophia, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
To call Pride a fudge packing fest, to LGBT people accuse folks of like her of homophobia to detract attention from the rate of STDs and pederasty involving homosexuals. And then she says that Islam's the real threat. So it's like, you're all pedos with AIDS, but it's Islam you should hate. It's like, well, no, how about I hate you? Like, this is a kid that needs to be taken away from her parents and like sent to go live at a farm upstate with no internet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you get to go be Amish now. Fuck off. After YouTube kicked her off its platform, Soph tweeted an image of her holding an assault rifle saying, YouTube headquarters, here I come.
Oh my god.
She later deleted the tweet and wrote, obviously a joke, lol. Yes, because people holding guns and making threats against people isn't like a big deal as of late.
I know, alright?
Little shithead children holding guns is like the last thing you want.
So anybody. Did she do this, like, basically, like, this past week? Like, right after we had 2 mass shootings in a row, or was this...
This article came out on the 6th, so...
Not that we don't always have a mass shooting in America, it's just that this past weekend was particularly gruesome.
Yeah, like, because they disabled comments on her videos in 2019, like,
mm-hmm.
you have to know you're doing a really bad job if your YouTube comments are too toxic for YouTube.
Mm.
Like, how do you manage that? Like, in April 2019, she made a video threatening to kill YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki. In it, she said, "Susan, I've known your address since last summer. I've got a Luger and a mitochondrial disease. I don't care if I live. Why should I care if you live or you are children? I just called an Uber. You got about 7 minutes to draft up a will. I'm coming for you, and it ain't going to be pretty." And of course, then later, she's like, "JK, LOL." Though she acknowledges that words like hers can lead to real-world violence, in her Pride and Prejudice video, she says, "Make sure to blame me in your manifesto," a reference to mass shooters who have posted their manifestos online shortly before gunning down innocent people.
Yeah.
14, man!
Like, she wants to be named the way,
PewDiePie.
Was it him or some... Who was it that was... Oh, it was Ben... What's his name? Shapiro?
Ben Shapiro.
Was specifically mentioned in, like, the El Paso shooter?
Yeah.
Manifesto, I think.
He mentioned a lot. It was an amalgamation of a lot of right-wing bullshit.
Yeah, he did mention a Christchurch shooter being an inspiration. Yeah,
he was inspired by that, and he posted his shit to 8chan. Mm-hmm. And, like, it was a copycat thing. But that motherfucker was from Allen.
Yeah.
Like, he was from around here. And
drove 9 hours to the border. And, like, people are saying, like, he's trying to basically use the insanity defense. But it's like, but everything that he did was premeditated.
Extremely calculated. He waited until he got right outside to post his shit to the internet. Like, he waited till he was just about to pull the trigger.
So that, like, no one could stop him in advance. Or,
you know, yeah. Didn't let people know. And apparently, like, the guy's mom had called the cops and said, "Yo, my son's an unstable piece of shit, and he shouldn't have this weapon." And the cops are like, "He's 21, we can't do anything." And then he drives all the way fucking out to El Paso.
See, the cops should have at least passed that information along to the FBI, who have more power over this kind of thing and can watch that shit. He should have at least been on a fucking watch list.
I mean, and even then, though, like, that doesn't do anything. Like, this guy drove out there, murdered a bunch of people in a Walmart, and threatened, like, he didn't go to the mall, but that was, like, a nearby spot that also got evacuated.
Mm-hmm.
He just murdered people, and then, of course, because White got captured alive, so there will be a spectacle and a trial.
Lots of these white shooters are still alive.
Yeah. You know,
Dylan Roof's still alive. The redheaded guy that shot up the Aurora movie theater all those years ago is in jail.
Yep.
I'm sure there's many more. The guy that tried to do it in downtown Dallas got capped, so we went over that.
But that was a security guard returning fire, not the police being like, "Oh, let's get him real gentle-like."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and specifically it was a black security guard, so... You know, good on him.
It's been a really bad week, and then but when you literally have people saying, "Hey, you know, reference me in your manifesto," our culture is, I'm afraid, deeply, deeply diseased.
Yeah, it really is.
Because, yeah, it's this basically taking the rhetoric of the president and the right wing media and putting it into their fascist manifestos while they go and murder people. That in Montana, though, that thing where the guy fractured a child's skull.
God.
Yeah. That's... And he wasn't their parent, so it wasn't like a parental abuse. He was just a random fucker. Smacked some kid.
Picked him up and slammed him to the ground because he didn't take his hat off for the national anthem. That child is going to make the sky cloth sad.
What was he? He's like 9 or something?
13.
13? Okay.
And, like, apparently didn't give the kid, like, didn't say, "Take your hat off, kid." He just grabbed him and chokeslammed him to the ground. Like, caused a traumatic brain injury. The kid had to be airlifted out. And then
he basically said he deserved it, you know.
Yeah, and, like...
Oh, the kid died?
No.
Oh, okay.
But he got fucked up.
Yeah.
Fractured his skull.
Yeah, he's going to have lifelong...
Yeah, he's permanently changed, I'm sure. But this guy, like, his own lawyer is trying to go with an insanity defense, basically. Well, he just thought he was doing what the president wanted him to do. This was his own lawyer saying this. This guy was unstable. They're trying to blame, "Oh, well, he had a traumatic brain injury at some point, and also he, like, was super into the president, and the president, like, demanding you respect the flag, blah, blah, blah." Man, fuck the flag. This guy, about murdering a child, It's insane. It's just a cloth. It's just a song. It's not worth anything.
just this extreme nationalism.
It's so that this bizarre guy to had, see.
You know,
it's bizarre, but it's not really like unheard of. And also, my watch is being a narc because I'm getting heated thinking about this. And it's like, hey, you should take a minute to breathe. And I'm like, no, watch, I'm angry. Like, we're past the 35 minute mark on the raw recording here, and it's just like, God.
On the RAR recording.
The RAR recording, yes, Fuzz. RAR.
Bitey Wee Fennec.
Well, I mean, there has been a couple of fun things that have happened this week. I mean, like, there was some new Pokemon released. They've made a Kiss Pokemon.
A what? You can kiss them or make them kiss, or
yeah,
what?
You can always kiss the Pokemon. But anyways.
But then you have to, like, wipe off the screen on your Switch.
Yeah. So, shifting gears, because my watch is like, you're having a heated podcaster moment. You should calm down. A heated podcaster moment when you call for the violent overthrow of the government, and not when you say a gamer word. Anyways, so yeah, shifting gears a bit, because RAR. Yeah, there's new Pokemon. They made, the Galar region, which is the UK, like, they're theming things after the UK. There's
the Scottish Pokemon trainer.
Yeah. Scottish Pokemon trainer. There's also like the Nurse Joys are dressed in like World War II nurse uniforms.
Oh,
there's the Poke Gig economy where you can like send Pokemon that are in your box off to work jobs and get experience and I guess money. Like you literally sending your Pokemon off to work and then you take their money from them.
I'm just thinking. I love that little comic where it's like, "Oh, she's Scottish. Get over here and battle me, you cunt." Oh no, she's Scottish.
But there's a version Galarian Zigzagoon. It's this little raccoon that turns into a badger. It's this fuzzy badger baby that becomes a badger. Well, now they give it a third evolution that's like a Kiss rock star anthro badger.
Oh, was this one I saw the porn of?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's the one that like Cheetah Paws busted out a multi-part image of.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And like
Tyrion posted that to our household chat and I was like, I had not even heard of the new sexy badger Pokemon, but, you know.
It was revealed yesterday, and then, like, I saw a tweet where someone was like, well, I'm very proud of you, furry fandom, because it was like...
That was a really fucking quick turnaround.
Yeah, it's like, the name is Obstagoon,
uh-huh.
Which is like Obstinate Zigzagoon versus an Obstinate Goon, and it's this rock star-looking badger Pokemon, and it had, like, 250 images. Like, I could look at E621 right now and pull that up. It's like, as of this recording at 8:36 p.m. on Thursday night, 2 days after the release of Obstagoon, let's see. We're going to do it live.
Tappity tap tap tap, because we use touchscreen sound, so I've got to make my own sound effects.
Obstagoon has, well, it lists 42 images on E621, but that's not a full list of images. People are having fun with it, but it's an anthro badger Pokemon. That's also a rock star. There is a British industrialist Weezing. It mm-hmm. has a giant smokestack on its head that people also say looks like a bong. Then, of course, people have been making their other like joke variants, like Galarian Magikarp, and it's just a plate of fish and chips. So, yay Pokemon, that was good. Final Fantasy XIV continues to be good when I get to play it. Dancer's a lot of fun. I went to Lush and bought product. That was fun.
You sound so enthusiastic.
Honestly, I don't want this to be like a super negative thing, a super negative episode.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just been, my week has been so dominated with highly stressful topics that it's like, geez, what do I want to talk about that's good?
Right, yeah.
I'm helping my family out, and my mom's foot's healing okay, and this, that, and the other. But it's just been this huge amount of stress, and like, I actually took a day break off of Twitter, and that helped. But, you know, it's still there, you know?
I'm sorry.
It's just been kind of a hellscape. It's been a hellscape for several years now.
Yeah.
3 years into it, at least. I mean, for other people, it's been a lot longer, of course.
But. Yeah, it's just very obvious where, like, how things are going. It's so gnarly. And we don't want to be this sober downer, but unfortunately, it's like, this is a reflection of how our weeks and how we're feeling about the world. And, well, here we are, I'm afraid.
Okay, well, I'm going to throw out something really positive then.
Okay, Fuzz. Do that.
I saw this tweet. It hasn't been confirmed in a news source or anything, so I hope it's accurate. Attention transgender people. Starbucks Insurance now covers top surgery, bottom surgery, hair graft, voice therapy, facial feminization, breast augmentation, and just announced a specific coverage for transgender employees. This is major news. And that Twitter account is the Calvin Benson. So I just happened to see that tweet come across one of our chats. So huge if true.
Yeah, definitely so, because that shit's normally is, in a lot of cases, not covered. I have a West Coast friend who he is dealing with. He's gotten the legal name changed, both at, like, on his paperwork and at job.
Mm-hmm.
They're having to, like, two different layers of gatekeeping to have to deal with for any sort of, like, SRS stuff. Mm-hmm. They want to yeet the teats. But their insurance is like, you have to do this, but oh, also wait, no, you need to do that instead. And so, like, ugh. He's having a bad time. And then, like, on the flip side of that, Vex in the UK, she's been dealing with just the horrible reality of how hard it is to get a hold of that stuff in the UK. And so she's like, well, fuck it, I'm just going to self-medicate. Which they say, don't do this, but if you do it, that shows us that you're serious and will accelerate your timetable to getting it through us.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. So it's
so
like,
fucking so, backwards.
Like, if you go through, you know, extra legal means or just get it from another country, that shows you're dedicated to it, so it'll push your timetable up, but you shouldn't do it. Wag, 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 finger. It's so bizarre. Like, I'm learning all these new terrible things.
Oh, so here's another terrible thing. This is another terrible layer on a terrible thing. The shooting in Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
Where all the news were saying that the shooter shot his sister and her boyfriend. Well, it turns out that wasn't his sister. That was his trans brother and his boyfriend. So they've been dead naming and misgendering this guy throughout all of these news reports. Like, so it's actually a fucking trans hate crime, you know?
In addition to all the other
murders. In addition to the fact that this dude killed a bunch of people, he also killed his trans brother and his boyfriend.
You know, apparently this person was this extreme misogynist piece of shit that nobody liked.
Yeah.
Like, misogynist mass shootings is something that's not new, unfortunately. Like, there was a couple of, there was a yoga studio murder in, like, Florida that I think happened this year. But I hate that it all kind of blurs together, right?
It's yeah.
Like, how many hate crimes are caused by, like, hating women or hating people of a different ethnic group or hating, it's like there's so many mass shootings, so little time, and I'm not even being flippant because there's been more than one a day in this country this year.
So which, there's another furry by the name of Riley who is transgender and has started transitioning and tweeted today, I'm glad my state is among those that offers an X gender marker on licenses. But that doesn't mean we're out of danger from bigoted or transphobic people. This is a good step, but damn, do we need greater social change. And she linked a USA Today article that says, more than 7,000 Americans have gender X IDs, a victory for transgender rights. And it says it's a safety risk, too. So I haven't read that the article yet. But basically, this is allowing a gender neutral marker on state driver's licenses.
Yeah,
and it's not in every state. It's in a few, and you know, hopefully spread to more. But so that's at least a positive thing. But I hate that transgender people have such a fucking uphill battle on what's already a difficult thing to deal with. On another one, this is sort of funny in how fucking stupid it is. So there is an author, Roxane Gay. And so she'd like retweeted or commented on this journalist's really dumbass take. So this journalist named Jonathan Wiseman, I believe he works for like the Washington Post or the New York Times or something like that. And is known for just really shitty, dumb takes. And was complaining that a Democratic organization was promoting another politician who's running for this position. And they're trying to push an African American woman out of office. And then the person who was complaining about was like, I'm also African American. And he replied, well, they put a picture in the press release, which, you know, most people read as, I saw the picture and, you know, look black to me. You know?
That is the wrongest answer.
Yeah, she's kind of light-skinned, but, I mean, she's clearly African-American. And so, you know, Roxane Gay, who's not specifically related to this situation, but she had basically called it out and was like, oh my god, this is so fucking stupid. Look at this guy. Well, so this guy then emailed her saying that she owed him an enormous apology. You know, and she notes the audacity and entitlement of white men is fucking incredible. But he emailed her assistant, and like I said, she's an author. He also emailed HarperCollins, her publisher. And she says, and he also emailed HarperCollins, NY Times, get your boy. You know? It's like
how dare you say this to me? I demand a duel.
And she actually tweeted the screen caps of the emails that he sent to her and her assistant. I was so surprised to see your ad hominem attack on me on Twitter, which went to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. You misconstrued my rather innocuous tweet, willfully or mistakenly accused me of racism and incompetence, seemed to want me fired, and since I have now written off Twitter completely, I was hoping to communicate, to clarify my meaning and to understand yours. He's sea-lioning her, for one, by emailing her after she blocked him to be like, I wish to further discuss my terrible take with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But to email her like she owes him a fucking answer.
And her assistant.
And her publisher. And it's just like, what the fuck is wrong with you, you know? Like, N.K. Jemisin replied, she is a Hugo and Nebula winning best-selling author. She has 102,000 followers. And she replied, un-effing believable. This guy's just Streisand affected himself.
Yeah, like,
if you didn't know this guy was a fucking idiot before, lots of people do now.
Jesus Christ.
Like, how the fuck do you... they had this same stupid conversation when Barack Obama was running for president. There was all these hot take editorials being, is Barack Obama black enough? Do you remember hearing about this back in the day? Shiva does.
Yeah.
I'm sure. There was editorials asking if he's black enough. And the response was like, if you're having to ask that fucking question, yes, he's black enough. Yeah. Because his mother was white. So he was like, is he black enough to really be the first African-American president? Like, holy fuck. You know, of all the shitty things that white people in America do to black people, turning around and questioning their blackness is like, that's for them to fucking decide. You know, as far as I'm concerned. Like, idiots just... Jesus, more entitled white men. Oh, people like that honestly just make me clutch my head. And I'm like, why? For fuck's sake. You know?
Mm-hmm. Nobody would have paid attention to it if he hadn't tried to...
You know why there's no white pride? Because of people like this. Like, we have nothing to be proud of.
We made the gender reveal party for dogs. We didn't take that from anybody.
Funny note on that.
Yes.
The person that came up with the gender reveal party for humans, I think in this case, now deeply regrets it. Yeah. She was like, this is this thing that I did for my kid that I thought was fun. And I now and this was in 2006. And she's like, and it's now 2019. I am now a lot more cognizant of the spectrum of gender. And seeing how far this idea has gone, it was a mistake. It was bad.
Please stop.
I don't stand behind the idea anymore.
Well, the stupid thing is, the woman that campaigned for and created Mother's Day fucking hates the holiday.
Oh, now. I didn't know that.
No, so she really, really cared for her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to basically set aside a day to, like, celebrate moms.
Yeah.
With the idea of you go and you spend time with your mommy and you have a good time and, you know, you show how much you appreciate her.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's become such a big capitalist bullshit.
Yeah.
She absolutely hates how the day has turned into just basically another marketing campaign.
Ugh.
And she, you know, she didn't necessarily say go out and buy them all this and buy them diamonds and do all this. She just meant like go spend time with your mom, enjoy her, you know, thank her. You know, say, hey, you rock, mom. Not, you know, buy a Hallmark card and a bouquet and jewelry and buy. She just meant just go spend the day with your mom.
Wow. Yeah, because like I worked at Montgomery Ward back in the day, and I worked in the jewelry department for several years. And our three biggest selling periods were Christmas, Valentine's Day, and Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
It was a massive fucking, you know, capitalistic thing. Totally. I didn't know anything about the woman who had come up with the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Well, I mean, it's kind of like I made this thing. Also, it's totally invalid. Like the guy that made Godwin's Law, he's like, no, actually, you can call these people Nazis. Do it a lot, please.
Yeah, yeah. Like a lot of people keep whenever you call some right winger a Nazi. They're like, oh, you mentioned Nazis, Godwin's Law, and fucking Godwin came out. I'm like, no, it's completely fucking legit to call the alt-right Nazis, and you should do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Godwin's Law has gone out the window.
Yeah. And also another thing on the gender reveal party is that their kid is gender non-conforming as well. So
that's right. Yeah, and that was probably partially what kind of opened her eyes up.
Oh, no.
She posted pictures of her kids. Yeah.
Rocking a suit. Slick, like, came out of the 80s. But yeah, it's like, you see these weird gender reveal... There's these fun comics where it's a gender reveal cake, and they slice it open, and it's green. Everybody takes off their human mask, and they're lizard people, and they hiss. But then there's the weird ones. Like, I saw on the back of a car today, someone who does gender reveal cakes where it's like the shape of a sleeping baby, and when you carve into the cake baby, it reveals the gender of the child you just cut in half.
It is a gender reveal cake. You cut into it, it's yellow. It's a plain yellow cake. It's like, what gender is it? It's a baby.
This projector turns on. I have slides.
That's a fucking organ reveal party with that cake.
It really
cake.
What it is. I mean, it's like, let's tell strangers what the shape of our baby's genitals look like. That's like when we relentlessly gender our baby stuff. Uh-huh. And so they're like, hey, strangers, my baby's got a dick. You know? I mean, it's bad enough that people are like, oh, we gotta make our baby stuff look like war gear. Like, there is that
the tactical fucking baby carriers and stuff
where it's
that.
Like, it looks like a military medic bag or whatever, but it's for your baby's stuff. The chest carrier that looks like a tactical vest, except you put the baby on the front.
And you know what's
baby armor. It can only take like one or two hits, but it'll, you know, it really takes God. A long time to produce. Lots of resources.
I think I know what you're going
to
say.
What's that crazy game that's coming out and involves baby detectors and like sinking through the ground?
Oh, Death Stranding.
Yeah, that's like something out of Death Stranding. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to mention the new horrifying thing that I saw a screen cap of on sale at some department store. Bulletproof backpacks for back to school season.
Oh, yeah. That's I actually had that conversation with a lady out at Weatherford this last weekend, how she was really concerned because her kids were going into high school and how like she's really thinking she needs to buy those for her kids, but they're really expensive.
That's so fucking sad.
I was out at Weatherford this last weekend helping my dad out because my mom hurt her foot and all that fun stuff. And there was a number of poor examples of humanity out there. Like, I think I tweeted about it, but it was like this guy who was walking with an open carry pistol on his hip, but the pistol holster itself had no snaps or straps over the weapon. So that, like, if he tripped and that shit fell out, or someone like got up behind him and took it from him, that'd be it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these people going around a goddamn glorified garage sale with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, And, like, for $1,500, I could buy AR-15. And remember, AR stands for assault rifle, with, like, a foregrip and a scope and extra magazines for $1,500. And because it's a cash sale at a flea market, there's no background check. You know, I just have a weapon of war and, oh, look, I've got a magazine right here. And just start blowing away people at the flea market. That's all it'd fucking take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's insane. And even that their high schools have signage outside that, like, our teachers are armed and we will defend our students to the best of our ability. So it's like
prison. Yeah. The teachers are basically prison guards now.
You know, they don't. It just that blew my fucking mind. Like, I almost pulled over and took a picture, but I was like heading out of town and was like really fucking done with it. Mm-hmm. But I saw that and I was like, of course Weatherford, Texas is concerned about random people coming in with a gun and blowing it away. It's not, you know, it's a completely rational thing that we're gonna give all of our ninth grade teachers firearm training and firearms. You know, I'm sure Miss Wilson really wants to have to blow away one of her students, or one of her students will get a hold of her weapon. I mean, who fucking knows what all protocols they have in place, but it's just like, it's bad enough that the ubiquity of guns, but also having them in a school environment, mm-hmm. like, there and not ready to use, but pretty quick to be used, it just seems insane.
I mean, do they make them qualify at the range regularly?
Do you have to train? Is it mandatory for teachers to have that proficiency?
And I know we had this conversation back when the idea of arming school teachers was originally proposed, and it's sort of like people that are trained to use guns for a living, like the best fucking marksmen in the army, basically, have like this percentage rate of accuracy, and it's not 100. It's not anywhere fucking near it. It's something ridiculously low. It's like 12% or something like that.
Yeah, they have to go out and regularly drill in to maintain that.
Right, shooting a gun is not, and that's under controlled environment. Like you're laying there with your rifle and aiming, and like if you get it 12 times out of 100, you're really, really good.
Yeah, like, and there's a reason that high capacity, like, you know, you're going quantity over quality.
Right. So if you're in a war zone, yeah, you're going to just mow down the enemy. And, you know, chances are a number of those bullets will hit something. The majority of them won't hit anything. But I'm just saying that, like, these are the professional people that are drilled all the time and have qualified at these really high levels of efficiency with weapons, have this level of accuracy. You can't expect a school teacher that goes to the range, maybe they're required to go like once a month or something like that, to fire a 45 at a target. Yeah, like, they're not going to be that accurate. The chances are the teachers are not armed with semi-automatics. They're armed with handguns or something. So the idea that they're going to squeeze off a shot or two and take down someone that bursts into their classroom with a semi-automatic assault rifle, it's ludicrous thinking that this would actually be effective.
And it takes time to train, like, the panic reflexes out of people.
They're far more likely to kill one of their students rather than any assailant.
Or themselves.
Yeah. And that's just wild to me. Like, I wouldn't want my kids going to a school where teachers are armed. That seems like a great way to get my kids killed in an entirely different way.
Look, and I don't talk about this to my sister because I know she's probably already thinking about it, but I'm worried when my nieces get to school age. Oh, yeah. You know, like, having young kids in the American school system, like, I used to sort of frown on homeschooling because I was like, I mean, I don't know how good an education you get or if your parents are qualified or whatever. And some people turn out okay. Some people don't. And now I'm sort of like, if I had children, I'd homeschool them. I don't want them going into the American educational system. Not because the quality of the education sucks, because I don't want them to get fucking shot.
Yeah.
And you are far more likely to be shot by a white American than you are to be killed in an Islamic terrorist bombing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the causes of death are, like, you are way more likely to be shot by a white supremacist.
Because a number of, like, Muslim attacks on American soil, because, and I say Muslim because that's the big bad guy that everybody is like, oh, they're going to come and da-da-da. It's like, compared to the number of people that have been shot up by domestic threats is in mass attacks, be it run a car through a crowd or shoot up or whatnot, it's way higher than a foreign attack.
This was like the 220-something
No, 250-something.
Dayton was 250. That's what it was. The mayor was like, we hit 250 mass shootings this year, and I'm really sorry that Dayton had to be number 250.
USA.
We're only a little over halfway through the year.
Yeah, we've had more mass shootings than there are days in the year. To go back to our initial point. And to wrap everything back around to the title of this episode.
Yeah.
The 30 to 50 feral hogs thing.
Oh my Christ.
The statement being that people do not need to have AR-15 assault rifles.
Mm-hmm.
They do not need to have AK-47s. They do not need to have weapons that are explicitly designed to kill other people. You are not going to take that $1,500 AR-15 with a scope and a foregrip out to hunt deer. Because you can't fire off a bunch of rounds at deer and expect to actually there to be any deer within miles of you. You bow hunt, you single shot with a hunting rifle, it's a lot different than a weapon designed to murder people. And this person, in their brilliant defense, was trying to say, well, how am I supposed to deal with these 30 to 50 feral hogs that could attack my children within 5 minutes? And it was this ridiculous hypothetical that everybody dunked on for an entire day. It was a fun distraction from the hellscape of Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also noted elsewhere that in Germany, on military bases, the guidance for an armed soldier, if they encounter a wild boar, is to get the fuck away. Man, if only those trained military people had automatic weapons to deal with a boar. Oh, wait. Because wild boars are tough fuckers, and you could be, you know, quad-wielding AR-15s, but the bullets they shoot are not enough to take down one quickly, let alone a proper wild boar. Mm-hmm. Like, they are tough, and mm-hmm. They don't stop growing, so they can be huge.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if the military guidance for wild boars is, if you encounter one, get away from it quickly. Versus some guy trying to claim that he's got 30 to 50 wild boars running around his land. It's like, you need to, like, take off and nuke the site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure. But 30 to 50 feral hogs, and you're just dead. You know, there's horror films about this, like Hogzilla and various other, like, hog-themed horror films.
There was a graphic designer that created a vintage Italian or French movie poster.
Yeah, that was like, pretty rad.
It was Night of the Feral Hogs, and it's a very cool piece of art, but, man.
30 to 50 feral furries. Those are easier to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
They might, like, jump up on your legs and demand that you pet them, but not, you know, gore you to death and eat your bones like a wild boar can. A single wild boar. The whole wild boar thing, because, like, this goes back to, like, why I quit Boy Scouts, and I've told this story before, I think, where this guy had captured 3 wild boars on his land and then handed over a handgun to boys no more than 14 to shoot and kill these hogs that were in a cage. And that traumatized me to the point that I never went back to the Boy Scouts ever again, because fuck that noise.
Yeah.
But, like, they don't go down in one bullet. They don't go down in, like, 3, even if you're a okay shot. And these are 13-year-olds, so they massacred the fuck out of these pigs.
And not prettily.
Yeah. So that's some trauma I'm sharing with you guys. So don't do that. Don't be a fucking sociopath and hand a gun to children to murder hogs. Don't do that. But I doubt that any of our listeners would ever be in a position to do that.
You know, it's like one thing if you have to slaughter an animal because you grow up on a farm. But you're talking about fucking suburban Fort Worth.
Well, this was like a backpacking trip at the scout group.
But I'm talking about the kids.
Yeah.
You know, you're not fucking growing up on a farm. These are not they're not teaching you valuable fucking life skills.
No, like, hey, kid, here's a 9mm. kill that hog.
Like, you know? I mean, Boy Scout's supposed to be like about tracking and figuring out which way is north so you don't get lost in the fucking woods.
And camping skills and archery.
Yeah, like, ugh.
So, wild hogs, don't fuck with them, kids. Also, don't try to kill them with, like, anything short of, like, a big shotgun. Because they're big, tough boogers, and they'll fuck you up good.
Well, I mean, feral hog hunting is very much a thing in Texas. They are dangerous.
Well, they are. That's why
they do need to be controlled. But, you know, putting them in a pen to basically do the fish in the barrel, get some experience killing critters is not the way to go.
Yeah, that was the extremely, like... Well, there's so many extremely fucked up parts to this, but...
That very much sounds like you're not a man until you kill something kind of mentality.
Oh, well, okay.
I mean, I'm guessing that was how the leaders of the troop were looking on it.
My friend Nolan, growing up, he raised chickens for 4-H. He raised chickens. They grew up. Some he kept for eggs. The rest went in the freezer at the end of the year. But they were raised for food. Like, and that's something that he had to do as part of his, you know, 4-H. You had to raise a chicken and then slaughter it yourself. But, I mean, but you're at least raising it for food. It's not like there's a wild hog. And he didn't take a shotgun to his chicken pen. It's like, you know?
Right, yeah.
He did it, you know, whatever was needed. And
you pick them up by the head and you swing them to break their neck.
Okay, the more you know. But it wasn't, you know, animal cruelty like that.
And the way they generally slaughter cows and livestock is a bolt gun.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to be quick and relatively painless. Like, the cow is, like, scared out of its mind, but they hold this gun that fires a bolt into their brain to their head, and it's over in one shot.
Yeah.
It's not just cruelly filling an animal with bullets until it dies.
Yeah. So, anyways, that was... Really just kind of blending all of our topics into one.
Mm-hmm.
Guns and
I just realized I know more than I should about slaughtering livestock, considering I'm not a farmer. It's from books and shit.
Yeah.
Well, I know about a lot of that kind of stuff for, like, reading up on, like, some of the mad cow disease.
Mm.
And, you know, how and why that proliferated.
Right.
And that was basically, if you kill a diseased animal that way, bits of the diseased brain make it elsewhere and contaminate. And sometimes when they, that's the particular protein that causes mad cow disease and other similar style diseases, where it's basically a protein folds. And you get enough of those going on, you start getting, you know, basically... It breaks up part of the brain, which point the animal starts going a little bit. Well, you don't do
locum de cabeza.
Yeah. So basically, those proteins don't get destroyed very easily. They can't be destroyed really all that well, except by extremely high heat, and even then.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they were grinding, you know, recycling parts of the animal, making it into fertilizer, which put it back in the food chain.
Right.
Which then it reinfected other livestock, and that's where you kind of got the mad cow disease. But it was basically using that kind of bolt
Because it method. Aerosolizes part of the brain.
Yeah, and yeah, so that's where it's part of that became a problem. So they really had to get that out of the food chain entirely and not risk destroying the brain in that way. But that's part of the real... That's part of the problem with that particular method is it's also why it became harder for some of the ethnic cultures which consumed that particular part of the animal to get a hold of it, because basically you don't really want to share the brain around, because if it's, you know, infected, then you're just kind of spreading the protein that causes the issue.
Right.
So, yeah.
This is a very broad-ranging episode that we're learning a lot.
Shiva likes science.
It's all good.
I'm sorry this episode has not been, like, super cohesive. There's nothing we can really do about it. It's just our week. This is our show. I'm sorry. This is where we apologize.
Is that our show?
We're weird.
This is our show motto. This is our show. We're sorry.
Pretty much. This is what you got this week. I'm sorry.
We've been apologizing for ourselves from day one, so.
Yeah, it's like we've only been doing this like 12 years.
That's it.
It feels like longer, but you never know. So hopefully this week, well, we can always hope that this next week is better and that we have more fun, positive stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm. We should actually look up and not just share, oh my god, this is awful, but try to find some nice fluffy stuff for
week. Actually, there was a good thing that we didn't touch on, that there is now prosthetic tails.
Yes.
It was like the second thing. So we're going to end this week.
I saw that go through. I didn't read it, but because they've had like a crappier version of that around for a while.
Is Gizmodo article, a wearable robotic tail turns anyone into a furry with improved balance. And it is a prosthetic tail that will counterbalance you bending over. And there is a neat, like, if you bend over, it kind of extends itself out. If you stand up, it lays down. Researchers at Keio University in Japan have created a wearable animated tail that promises to genuinely augment the wearer's capabilities, not just appearance, by improving their balance and agility. The easiest way to understand what inspired this creation is to watch a video of monkeys effortlessly leaping from tree to tree. Their tails not only serve as an additional limb for grasping branches, but also help them reposition their bodies mid-flight for a safe landing by shifting the monkey's center of balance as it moves. The arc tail, A-R-Q-U-E, as it's been named, is essentially the same thing for humans, although leaping from the highest branches of a tree isn't recommended just yet. The tail could give humans the same level of agility as even a cat, but its design was actually copied from dexterous but durable appendage you'd sometimes find on the end of a seahorse. It's assembled from a series of interconnected plastic vertebrae that can be customized for every wearer by simply adding more segments or counterbalancing weights depending on the size of the person wearing it. Inside, the tail are a set of four artificial muscles powered by compressed air that contract and expand in different combinations to move and curl the tail in any direction. The current design is dependent on an external air compressor to generate enough pressure for the tail to actually move, but as research on artificial muscles continue to advance, eventually all that could be needed to power the appendage is a strong battery. The most immediate applications for the arc tail include assisting workers tasked with lifting or carrying heavy objects, like an exoskeleton suit that enhances the capabilities of the wearer's muscles. The tail works like a counterbalance so that less force is required to lift something off the ground. But unlike an exoskeleton, the tail is far less complicated and easier to take on and off. The researchers who created the ARC also believe it could be an effective way to add full-body haptic feedback to persons exploring virtual worlds, altering their balance and momentum to mimic what their body is experiencing in the virtual world. So, you can wear a furry tail to be yourself, be more of a furry in VR chat.
Yay!
But there's a video of a guy, like, standing, bending over and standing up, and the tail is, like, flexing and shifting so that it makes it easier for the person bending over to stand back up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fun. You know, we have the prosthetic cat ear things that like react to our foreheads or whatever, however that works. They can have the like little cyber ears.
Yeah.
Well, soon you could perhaps have a cyber tail that reacts similarly. When you're annoyed, the cat ears go down and the tail swishes. Because, I mean, those actually, there have been fursuit makers that have made animatronic tails, which are really cool.
Yeah.
I think we talked about a Kickstarter for one a while back.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like a quote-unquote real-world application of the idea with humans. And it's like a cyber tail.
I want a cyber tail.
Yeah. I want a cyber body. Come on, science. Get it together.
That's right. Yeah.
Where's my hot swappable body parts?
I know what ones you want.
Just pop that shit off. Swap in the other parts. There you go. All right. So,
on that note, good night.
All right, so we're gonna just wrap this up. We're gonna like apologize for this episode again because, goddamn it, it's a very RAR filled week. If you made it to the end, give yourself a high five and a gold star. It's not as gruesome as a gold star last podcast episode, but still kind of raw. as always, you can contact us at Southpaws on Twitter, southpawscast@gmail.com, or Southpawscast on Twitter.
Yeah,
Southpawscast on Twitter, and at gmail.com for the email. Tumblr.com for that. Patreon.com/SouthPawsCast. Give us money to further enable our bullshit. You can find me on Twitter when I'm not going on Twitter at Saverin Drake. Saverin at Snouts.online. At Saverin on Twitch. I actually updated all my apps for the first time in a while. That doesn't mean I'm like going to stream, but I've updated my apps. I could intended to maybe potentially future in the maybe do streaming. But no guarantees.
Mm-hmm.
Fuzz.
I am not active on Twitter right now. You can find my company Twitter at FurPlanet and at Bad Dog Books for the ebooks. On the FurPlanet one, I do retweet art or furry stories or announcements from cons that I feel are relevant and useful to the fandom that are following. So follow my Fur Planet account, because I basically logged out of my Fuzzwolf account and I'm not really intending to go back to it anytime soon. So
valid.
Thank you.
You can find me mostly on Telegram, especially in our fan chat. That's going to be the best place to find me.
Yep. We have freed ourselves mostly from the shackles of Twitter. The hell site of the birds will be no more. Like, I was telling Fuzz earlier, I think I just need to, like, jump off of Twitter, like, just make a new AD account, follow all the artists that I follow on that, keep it pretty anon, and just say fuck it to the main Twitter. It literally, like, gives me brain problems to be on Twitter.com. It's that stressful some days. You wake up, you look, you see some shit on Twitter, and it's like, good morning! Oh, no, actually, never mind.
I'm just going to close
Social media is poisoning us.
I've been off it for 2 weeks now, and this week was the most productive week I've had at my day job in, like, 2 years.
Fucking get clean of social media. Get clean of Twitter. That can be our commitment. It's like, we need to get each other clean, have accountability, you know. We'll have to find stories elsewhere that are not off of Twitter. Oh no, that's not hard. So, let us commit to getting clean. And so, on that note, good night.
And delete Twitter.